Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone together. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrews.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah, my beloved sisters, bless you all. Psalms 134 says, all you who serve the Most High, bless the Most High right now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.
Bless his holy name. Welcome, welcome to Alive Sister to Sister. I have a small audience tonight. I have with me Tammy and Cheyenne and Teresa. Bless you. Sister Teresa, what's your daughter's name?
Bella.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening and coming tonight. And, of course, we have Sister Amanda. Did I say Sakina? And Chef. Hallelujah. Both of them. And Granny Barb. And who else? Cheyenne's here?
Diana,
hallelujah. There you go. That's who's with me, Sister Marshayla. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for tuning in, everyone who's listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sound checks, please. Let's jump to Mother Jennifer and hear her voice. Give me some tens if you hear us both.
Shalom and bless you. Daughters of Zion, bless you, Sister Ashley. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you so much for having me on for another episode of Sister to Sister. Again, I love the live audience. And Bella, you're at Straightway. Georgia misses you very much, and bless you, Sister Teresa. I pray everyone can hear me. We've got tens in the chat room, and I think we can go ahead and move forward. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for the tens. We have, let's see, I hope you listened to Elder Mitch's video this week. It was wonderful. I've played that. We were listening to it even before the show. Of course, Elder Rufus was interviewed by Brother Michael Israel, Spiritual Combat YouTube. Check it out. And now Elder Mitch. I'm looking forward to everyone he may ask. All you who serve Yah, praise Yah. Why? Because Yah is good. Sing praises to his name because he is beautiful, he is wonderful, and he is to be glorified. We don't say those things in vain or in vain repetition. We really mean it. All praises to the Most High Yah. I have a roof over my head. We have roofs, food, clothing, fellowship. We have labor. We have family. We have enemies. Welcome to the Straightway Truth. Welcome to the Sisters Broadcast, granted to you and me by the Straightway Truth Ministry. I'm Ashley Bell. I purchased possession of Yeshua HaMashiach. I'm covered and I'm holy and I'm loved. That's for you, Eden. That's for you. I'm hosting a show that is weekly airing live on blogtalkradio.com/straightwaytruth. I'm getting out there visibly and vocally because of this ministry, and I have a ton of great women behind me, with me, in front of me, around me. I often say you might hear my voice, but there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us. So a lot of what I do, I'll usually take a phone call that might say for me because they hear my name or my voice, and I will give it to someone who will be even a better answer than me, or I'll delegate that phone call. Because sometimes some of you who call might just not know who to ask for. So thanks for the call. Thanks for the support. Thanks for the emails. Thanks for following Pastor, your offerings, your letters and support. Bless you, my helpers and my fellow laborers. To you, Mother, bless you, joining me live from Georgia. We got your sound check, so let's get your acknowledgments in your heart tonight.
Yes, ma'am. First and foremost, I want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for continually keeping me, for his continual discernment that he gives us, and just for watching over us. Again, it is such an honor. I think every day of how much an honor it is to know who I am, to have an identity. I know I say it almost every week, but, you know, for me it's really important, and to all the women, to really understand who they are, because if you understand who you are, then you'll know how to conduct yourself. So to understand who I am, to know that I belong to Yah, who he created me to be, is a blessing. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his strength, for just the example that he is. The leading that he shows to Straightway Georgia, not only Straightway Georgia, but to those that are around, the entire ministry, his following and his submission to the man of Yah, to Pastor Dow, to take any burden off that he can. Again, it's an honor to be his possession, and to know that that I'm his Ashiah, that, you know, I'm not just aimlessly roaming out there doing my own thing. I am under direction. I'm under his covering, and that is an honor. And finally, to the man of Yah, to Pastor Dow, for the vision that he has carried out, that Yah has given him, the faithfulness that he's shown in all these years. You know, I listened to the interview that Michael Israel did with Elder Mitchell, and what it all boiled down to is there would be nothing to follow without Pastor Dow following that vision and keeping that vision and obeying the vision that Yah put in his heart. So blessings to you, Pastor Dow. Blessings to your family for your obedience and for your love for Yah's people and to the Most High. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Can my audience say thank you, Pastor Dow?
Thank you, Pastor.
Hallelujah. And please bless those that bless the Most High, but cursed be those who don't. Hallelujah. So please keep your mouth off our shepherd, and please understand why we honor him. I won't over-explain. I do, my biggest acknowledgement tonight, and probably my only one, is I want to give honor and reverence to the Holy Spirit in me, living in me, and in my life, in my family, in the saints in this room, his moving, his work. Without his Holy Spirit, we would be overcome by the flesh. Without his Holy Spirit, we would not have a desire for righteous behavior and conduct. His Holy Spirit will build you. It will tear you down. It will abase you. It will exalt you. Bless you. Can you hear me, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. I hear you very well now.
Long time dropped my call. I don't know what happened. I guess giving reverence to the Holy Spirit is not welcome. Hallelujah. But, hey, let's move on. I give all honor to the Holy Spirit. Mother Jennifer, I give all honor to the Holy Spirit because it is what guides me. Without it, I would not seek him. I would not have desire to pray. I would not know how to act. I would not have a will to change. I would not hear the man of Yah. I think we could all worship him for his spirit more genuinely and more sincere than maybe we do. Days come and days go, and we don't acknowledge that it's him and him alone that is doing the work inside of us. He's finishing what he started. So I want to acknowledge him for every relationship I have. I want to acknowledge him for my shepherd, for my husband, for my sisters, for my listeners, for the body of Yeshua HaMashiach, for enduring me and for allowing me to endure the body and not give up, but to be an overcomer in mind. And I thank him so much. I mean it, and I worship you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer. Let's kick it off with a countdown. 24 days to the Feast of Trumpets, 34 days to the Day of Atonement. Get your white ready. Get your soul ready for affliction. And the Feast of Tabernacles coming up in 39 days. Thank you for your Be a Blessings, the things that are starting to roll in. Thank you so much. Please find our Be a Blessing list on Straight with Hope Meets. You can check out some of the items. Maybe you can mail, send, or bring. We are taking the phone calls of the items that you bring. It does help us keep up with inventory, or it helps us communicate when you call and say, have you received my package? So, it helps us count things and keep things rolling forward logistically. Bless you all. Thanks again for listening. Bless you, my Muncie, and all my age women before me. Thank you for plowing a new row, and allowing us to come behind you. Mother Jennifer, thanks for waiting. What was it like when my phone line went dead and I was trying to call back to you? What was going on your end?
I said the devil sure does not want this broadcast to go forward tonight. So I just sat and I waited patiently because I knew it would come back.
Teacher Shane used to say, why is your show always doing this? Why do we have so many problems with your show? I don't know, teacher. The good news is I hadn't had to call him up in so many weeks. Right? I haven't had to call him and bug him. Sakina's been doing a pretty good job troubleshooting and helping me out. So, hey, you know what we got, my sisters, those who are listening? We got mechanics on the land. We got plumbers. We got electricians, elders, cooks, mothers, teachers, sisters. Nurses, thank you. I'd have forgot you. And we got ecclesiastical order. That's good. We got feast days. We got the law written in our hearts, really, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have deliverance. We have much to be thankful for. Sometimes you got to say what you're thankful for. Sometimes you got to praise it out of you, and get yourself out of a slump, right? Hallelujah. If Yah sealed your fate today and you went on to be with him, how'd you do? You know, how was your behavior? How was your conduct? How did you praise him? We have experience with life here. We have holiness, yes. We have a balance because we have wheat and tares. We have a experience of denying the world, living set apart. We have hearing and doing. We have the word of truth. We're learning to honor. We're learning to submit. We're learning to love our roles. And you come here, you're not going to find any women on earth like ours, like mine, like Yah's. We're Yah's daughters, and we really want to be holy. We want to live set apart. You're going to find the righteous. You got to look hard, but you're going to find the righteous amongst the numbers here. So do you want to be free? Keep listening tonight. Do the work. Apply it. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, what's on your heart?
You know, you talked about thankfulness, Sister Ashley, and I just want to say, you know, even in the times that are tough, you know, the times that are a little bit difficult for you, you know, be thankful in those times. Thank him for even sustaining you and allowing you to go through those times and for allowing you to learn during those times as well. So if you learn to have a heart and your position is always of gratitude, no matter what's going on, then it goes a long, long way. It truly does. Sister Ashley, tonight on my heart, what I wanted to do is I wanted to ask you some questions. I know last week you were able to ask me some questions. You were able to interview me, and I think it would be really good for the people to hear from you, if that's okay.
It is okay. Mother Jennifer, let me put a plug in for Overcoming Condemnation, the message, Overcoming Condemnation. It was last week. Please put the link up. I also want to briefly speak to each of you about a Skype fellowship that you can be a part of after the show. I'll give you some details later on. Mother Jennifer, thank you for even considering asking me anything. Sometimes, you know, from week to week and even year after year of the show, it's like, what have I not said? Father, help me. You know, it is in our heart always to help. It really sincerely is. I know we're veiled by the flesh, and I know we all, you know, live in these earth suits, but in my heart of hearts, it truly is my desire to help you and to share anything inside of me that will get you what you want with your Yah. Hallelujah. He's been good to me, and I do believe that he teaches me and guides me through my obedience so that I may pour into anyone who will listen. So thanks for being willing to ask me anything, Mother Jennifer. Shoot, I'm ready.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. First, I want to know, how long have you been with Straightway Truth Ministries? We'll start there.
Hallelujah. How long have I been with Straightway Truth Ministry? I am going to, Tammy was here this week. I would love to give you a numbered answer. I've always, if you follow this show long enough, you can always laugh with me when I always say it's like 14 years or maybe it's 15 or, right? Just this week, Mother Jennifer, I was in the Blackberry Patch. I was with Tears of Zion and Tammy. And it dawned on me, I was here when Tirza was maybe one or younger. So I said, Tirza, how old are you? You're going to be my marker. Like, I don't know how long I've been here. I just don't keep up with dates. I never have. I'm so ongoing in my personality. I'm so forward marching that I don't retain well. Dates don't matter to me. Memories don't matter to me. Most pictures don't matter to me. I'm so eternally bound. As far as being with the ministry, Tirza said 14 years. That means I can't have reached my 15-year mark yet. So y'all got to bear with me. You know, I might say 20 when it's 15. I might say 15 when it's 12. I don't know. Thank you for asking so I can share a little humor. I've been here at least 14 years living or fellowshipping with this community, 14 years.
Hallelujah. And how did you come to meet the man of Yah, who we know as Pastor Dow?
In short, my mom and dad brought Pastor Dow and Mother Carol to the restaurant that I managed. They came at the end of a night shift, and that is how I met them, by my mother introducing me.
All right. And tell me, you know, we hear a lot, Pastor, talking about his daughter, Sister Ashley, you know, early on, how we've even heard you talk about your relationship with Pastor Dial and Mother Carol, and you were their daughter. He was your dad, and you know, she your mother. You know, what was that like? We hear the jokes about how you used to travel with them, and then as time went on a little bit further, you know, you would kind of jump in the car and joke around about going wherever they went as you got a little bit older. But, you know, tell me what it was like being the daughter of Pastor and mother. What was that life like, the early days before you were a wife and a mother?
Hallelujah. Great question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me, at least live on a show. If I can, please say it, though, to my tribe and my family and many women that are listening. We come from broken homes and broken circumstances, and we come from, most of us, without a father, and we're all adopted into this work. And it's probably in the hearts of 100% of women to be the daughter of a great man. And I know that that is a sincere desire inside of you, and I would hope that the enemy never present to you any communication of jealousy or envy for someone being presented that way, because we are all in a family and given an opportunity for the body. Everything is fitly joined together for a work that is beyond our reasoning. And each of us are given what we need. And each of you have been given the same father figure in your life as me, Pastor Dow. But in the natural, it has been manifest differently for me than some of you. And we're in a different dispensation of time, a different manifestation of the ministry now. So early on, I'll give you a couple of different dynamics. There was a lot to go through. I'll come off of what Elder Mitch was saying. Elder Mitch was saying in his interview that he just wanted to be close to Pastor Dow. He wanted to ask the question. He just wanted to know. He wanted to be able to apply it, right, whatever he said. But I can't remember the statement that he said some would lay claim to him that he was just an ass-kisser, you know. And Elder Mitch said, I'm not here for you, bro. I came here because of his voice, Yah's voice, and him. And I kind of have the same story. I came completely blinded into the faith. I was very gullible, and I believed only the good of the people. I quickly learned that there was opposition to someone, you know, myself, being taken into, pastor's care or direct communication, you know, whether it was going somewhere with him or, you know, I was building a relationship by asking questions, getting answers, getting involved in things that I remember one time mother said, this was so many years ago. She said, honey, to pastor, why is Ashley involved in so many things? Initially, early on, it was this thing would happen and I was there, so I'd have to say I saw it. This thing would happen and I was there and maybe I messed up and I have to say I did it. Whatever that was early on, it was through a lot of dishonor that I grew in honor. And I was being mentally shaped by the Ruach by obeying mother and pastor's instruction. I will, on live air, confess to all of you, I did not honor Mother Carol the way that I honored Pastor Dow. I had to be convicted and grow in my honor for her, and I see 100% of the time that same circumstance. You will honor the man, as I did, and you will not honor his house or his woman. And so for me, that's two perspectives. One, I'm learning the saints. I'm new on the land. I thought it was all clear. It was all good. I had a brother who's not a brother, who's not here, who asked me to marry him, who said, when I said, no, I'm not feeling you like that. I'm not interested at all. I had no clue you were interested. I said, this is my early years. I was, you know, within the faith within maybe a year. Oh, man, we were on this land, and he was cutting up in front of Grandma Barb's house. If you ain't going to marry me, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to leave, right? So there's this big, long list of blows that I took. But I just loved my people so much. Nothing, and still to this day, nothing is going to take that love away. Nothing's going to separate that love. So back to your question, and to end the question, learning how to love Pastor was easy because he was the first man in my life I've ever trusted, the first man that actually followed up on what he said, the first man that said it and meant it, the first one to represent something that I had never visibly seen, and then to have a woman with spiritual power that is a heavenly witness on her life and her obedience that I was able to grow into love and honor for and submit and obey has been absolutely beautiful, and 100% of the time has been great opposition. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, there are a lot of women in the ministry now, a lot of daughters of Zion in the ministry now who are in the position that you were in when you first came to the ministry. You know, you hear a lot of women saying, I'm covered by the ministry, meaning that they're a single woman, that they're not in a covenant with a man on this earth, but they are covered by the ministry. And I think one of the things that I really love about this ministry is the fact that we have leaders, we have men, we have brothers who will literally do anything to make sure that these daughters of Zion are protected, to make sure that they grow up in environments that are protected because they've come from homes that are broken. They've come from traumatic experiences. And it's on these leaders' hearts to make sure that these daughters of Zion can just dwell in peace, that they can fulfill their roles in peace. So speak to those women. And, you know, I just kind of want to hear about what is their responsibility as a covered daughter of Zion in the ministry. You know, when you are covered and you're taking on the name of the ministry, what is their responsibility? Sister Ashley, as a woman, what is the woman's responsibility?
Yes, what is the woman's responsibility? It's initially, you know that every woman who partakes in this ministry is going to learn visually. Visually uniting us all together, whether it's communally or in home fellowships or whatever, we all learn visually. I would suggest that every woman guard themselves from poor visual negative examples, and loose and cut cords from those who drag you back into the world, because shedding the world is required of you, and you'll claim out of your lips that you're covered until you decide not to be. And because you don't know your heart and the depths of it, and you don't have the dynamic of yoking up with an old oxen, someone who's going to, you know, be right by your side to slap you on the hand and say, don't think that and don't do that. Because you might not have that, you need to be very fully aware of your potential to be dragged right back into the pit you came from. And never make excuses for why you didn't listen or you didn't, you know, you didn't catch the service again or you didn't, you know, pray. Or all these days go by and the worldly cares consume you, and before long you haven't grown. And we will so quickly justify ourselves to believe and feel. We can produce a feeling, right? As a woman, you can produce a feeling that makes you feel good. And you can justify yourself to believe that you're fitting in, you're going along, you're a part of something, and you feel good, and you're naming the name on your lips, and you can be so quickly deceived. I chiefly have been deceived by myself so many times that I'm not going to be quickly deceived by me anymore. If you assume that you're wrong 100% of the time, it's the best way to believe. So please continue to yield your ear and pay close attention, women, to the pricks that you get from the word. Pay close attention to those. They'll teach you who you really are, Mother.
Hallelujah. Very good words. Yield your ears. Yield your ears and obey. You know, we know that submission comes in many forms. When you are under submission, everything, every aspect of your life is in submission to authority. I want you to talk about what it was like being under submission when it came to, you know, your relationship before you got married to Deacon. You know, what was it like when, you know, when you all were courting, when you found out that you were going to be his Ashiah? What was that like, having guidelines, having curfews, having things that maybe you were not used to in the world? What was that like, Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Honestly, and I'm going to try to take my mind back to it because I don't want this to be a, like, peaches and cream kind of thing. I want it to be really raw. And honestly, I remember inside of me, I didn't understand the curfew or the limitations that was on our covenant or on our, at the time we would have said, just betrothal. When we were courting one another, he was very mature. He was ready. He was 38 when we got married. I was 27, something like that. 14-year difference between me and my husband. So he was literally, in my opinion, just waiting on me. And so I had to be very self-aware of all opposition at all times and slay everything in me that was not appropriate or that would not benefit the union. So the time apart was very good and good for me. I'd never been married before. I didn't have children. I was 27. It was all about work, work, work for me. I was a businesswoman, made a lot of money, and spent all my money, right? And that's what I cared about, was my job. So when I united with a man who was 14 years older and mature enough to cover me, I did often wonder, I wonder how long, you know, I wonder how long until I'm ready. I wonder, because what does it feel like really? It feels like rejection. Because someone somewhere, pastor or Yah, is saying that I'm not ready. And that feels like rejection when you have been molded by rejection, when you don't understand Yah's love and his communication of love, when rejection is louder in your ear than love. And so for me, I had to walk my way through that rejection. There was a lot of accusations in my mind towards pastor, but never demeaning or questioning. What I mean is everything he did to me, everything he said to me, everything he, you know, all the ways that he's broke me down to build me up feels a certain way, you know, in your flesh. And you mature that. And so initially, early on, 27 years old, and losing, you know, losing my father at 16, everybody has their story. Lose my father at 16, now I'm on my own, doing my own thing for all these years. Now I'm 27. Now I have a man that stepped in and given me instruction. And so there was a lot of woman up, you know, that I had to tell myself, woman up. I was talked to very strongly in the business world, and in the athletic, you know, in my collegiate days. So I was very accustomed to mentally strengthening yourself in the midst or presence of rejection. And so I was given an opportunity to get stronger and stronger and stronger and never give heed to the voice of rejection that would try to divide my shepherd's love for me. Mother Jennifer.
Very good. You know, Sister Ashley, there are a lot of women who never overcome that rejection. There are a lot of women who continue to live in the past, you know, continually living in the past. And you were mature enough and you were able to see the love in Pastor. You were able to see that, okay, this is a man of honor. You were able to see that Deacon Bell was a man of honor. Talk to me about, you know, a lot of times there are women who, like we said, live in the past and they can't seem to overcome that rejection. And so the men, the new men that come into their lives, the men of honor that come into their lives, end up paying the price for the ones in the past. You know, you talked about really having a strong background and learning how to overcome rejection. You know, what if you don't have that? What if you don't have that background? I know it's easy to say, it's easy to talk about, but talk to me about some of the spirits that you were able to target. I know you had gotten a lot of deliverance when you came the straight way, but talk to me about some of the demons that really need to be targeted so that when you meet men of honor, they don't pay the price for your past. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I tried to write little key things down so that I don't forget every aspect of your question. That was a good question. I got a phone call. You're going to want to hear from Mother Jennifer. Let's go to Mother Carol. Bring her live on the sister show. Bless you, Mother Carol. Shalom, shalom. Area code 615.
Shalom, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer. Bless you all. Thank you for having me. Sister Kina
shalom.
Just put a little plug in me to give a call just to chime in a little bit on what you all you were talking about when you first came to the land. So I'll let Mother Jennifer go ahead with whatever she wants to ask.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Bless you, Mother. It's an honor to have you on here. Mother, I think this would be a good question for you to answer as well. I was talking about women coming into the faith and, you know, not necessarily pertaining to Sister Ashley, but women coming into the faith and, you know, they've had backgrounds that are broken. They've had traumatic backgrounds and they may not seem to be able to get over that trauma or that rejection from the past. And the men of honor that they meet, they can't see the honor in those men because they have not overcome their past. Can you talk to us or answer, you know, how does a woman, what's the first step for her starting to get over those experiences so that she can heal properly?
Well, I think first she has to recognize that this is a problem that is controlling her life, that is controlling all of her relationships that she has, possibly with started with her father, with men that she'd been involved with and these things, and seeing that these relationships have molded her and shaped her into why she has the mental instability that she has at this time. But straightway is such a pivotal place for women to be. I remember early on it was, especially at the time of Sister Ashley coming, when we first started a community, very young, so many broken women all coming together, we didn't have deliverance, so we were all just broken, just trying to find our way, loving the Father, but really just trying to find our way, kind of like Joseph's brothers, just scrapping, always compare us to that. But then on the flip side, by the time someone like Sister Ashley had come along, around 2007, 2000, I believe it was around 2007 that we met her, and, you know, at that time, you know, we were involved in deliverance and things, and you want to help someone like that because of her story is, you know, she's, I know everyone has a past, but not all of us have lost our father in that manner. So you have someone to that magnitude, and you want to help them, but you're still dealing with the brokenness within your own self. I believe at the time she came around, I was probably maybe had just turned 40 or something like that. So you're way past the foolishness of youth, but you're still not old enough to be a mentor to some because some, you know, if they don't see the gray hair, you know, it's just not old enough for them to be able to listen to. But Ashley was a very hungry student, and like her and many other daughters of Zion who were so broken, the thing I know that's different with her that I don't see as much of now is the want and the desire for true freedom and deliverance. I saw her seek it out, search it out, study it out, get it whenever she could, just like we did from the beginning, and that has so attributed to her freedom. So I believe if daughters would recognize that their relationships are being controlled by their past and by the spirits that were operating in their past, and recognize that first and foremost, and then truly have a desire to be set free without self-pity, without drawing attention to yourself, because that is something that's common among women. They want to use their story to draw attention because of the rejection that they face. So, but just the true hunger to really want to be set free and be a total different person than they were when they came, I believe, is one of the keys, and one of the keys that I saw in Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Very well put. Sister Ashley, would you like to add to that?
I immediately trusted Mother Carol. I immediately trusted Grandma Barb. I immediately trusted Grandma Vicky. Why do I say that? Because I trusted my deliverance workers. And if you can't trust a deliverance worker, still to this day, I will never go to someone I can't trust, ever, ever. Why? Because it compromises your freedom. It's like going to get healed and pouring salt in it. You want to go to the person you know is going to care for you regardless of what she's bound by, or regardless of her problem, or what she, you know, this, that, and the other. You want to go to the person. And early on, Mother Carol, I learned who not to go to. I was so hungry. I was going to anybody, everybody, and I picked up quickly on who was not going to be a servant to help me. And I
absolutely.
Still, yes, please, go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. Absolutely, that's the truth. Continue, please.
Yes, that was all that was on my heart. I wanted to share that because now we have a dynamic mothers that there's so many of us, right? We're growing at a rapid rate because Yah is gathering us, because he's going to set us apart and save us in the wilderness and have these places prepared for us. He has our end in mind because of this time frame we live in. So now we have a bunch of people coming in and a bunch of mistrust. And because of that, it's different than when I was here. I'm rooted and grounded with some old, I say old shoes, but not out of dishonor. It's just an abstract term to explain those who are not going anywhere and who have been here from the beginning. So my opportunity at Deliverance was also different. Some of you are starting from scratch and learning, just like I did, who you can and cannot ask for help. Mother Jennifer.
Very good, Sister Ashley. And very good, Mother Carol. Very good points brought out. I want to kind of change up a little bit, and I want to talk about the dynamic of your duties on the community, Sister Ashley. I know that you wear many hats. I know that as time goes on, you know, Pastor, his YouTube videos had been put out there, you know, and people started calling. People needed help in different areas, and Pastor was not as available. Mother Carol was not as available. So your job on the land changed a little bit, Sister Ashley. So I know you wear many hats. So tell us, what are some of your duties, just as many as you can remember? Just shoot them all off.
Hallelujah. Of course, I cleaned the gym for 10 years. Probably I've harvested the black grapes since I got here, 14 years or so, weeding and take care of them. Maybe folded towels for 6 or 7 years. I did the single brother's laundry for 9 years. I have a dish day. I have my laundry day. I'm now over the schoolhouse. I do delegations for anyone who's coming to the land weekly, daily, or, you know, coordinating feast planning with mother, calling, organizing, a mother of three, a friend and a sister, and coordinating amounts, how much someone cooks or not. I have an area to clean in the kitchen. I have an area to clean in the dining hall. They got my name on it. They need me right now. Actually, I saw them today. I am also behind the scenes doing many things to prove my heart to Yah that I love him and I won't stop and I won't make excuses and I do things in the dark when no man sees me. That's my list. Deliverance workers. Deliverance workers, yes.
Hallelujah.
Mother Carol.
Hallelujah.
Are you asking me the same question?
Yes,
no,
Mother Carol.
I want to ask you something, Mother Carol, a little bit, it's just a little bit different. I want to go a different direction with you, but it pertains to the same question. Elder Mitchell did an interview with Michael Israel, and he talked about how he made himself available early on,
And he made sure that he learned those that he that was in authority over him. Tell me about the dynamic of Sister Ashley and making herself available early on and learning from you, learning your mind, learning the things that you approve of and the things that you don't approve of and how she's been a help to you. You know, tell me about those qualities in Sister Ashley.
Well, as time went on and the ministry started to really grow, what was it, the 2010, 11, 12 range when Pastor had gotten on YouTube and the Father had showed us that this thing was really about to blow up like it has, the duties started to change. The ministry was getting so big, and whether we had a lot of visitors before, but not to the magnitude that it was now with the venue of YouTube, so as my duties had to shift more towards managerial things to try to help Pastor because it was just a lot. And at the time, it was just he and I. So he had so much on him that I had to, you know, try to help him as much as I could with some of the things that I could take off of his hands, you know, all of those kinds of things. So the things on the land needed attention as well. So with Sister Ashley, she was one, I would say at the time, the only sister that really, I would say Sister Diane has that gift of helps, but not in the leading managerial type of sense, but I could call on her for anything, still can to this day. So she had her area as well. Well, she was a great help to me and still is to this day. But with Sister Ashley, with her managerial experience, I watched. I took her with me on different things that we had to do, like, and watched how quickly she caught on. We had a vending machine business. She was able to pick up and just do what she needed to do. I actually watched her obedience. If I sent her grocery shopping and it said at the time, don't spend over $125, she would come home with a receipt for $124.99. So that showed me she's going to obey what I'm saying to keep from, you know, anything going wrong on her sense. And then as far as things on the community, I watched the spirits being able to gravitate to her, the godly spirits that were able to listen to her through from the Daughters of Zion, those that were righteous, were able to receive from her, and she has a fast-paced mentality, and she wanted to learn my mind. It's not about just learning my mind and learning what's going to be required, but actually learning my mind to where sometimes I don't have to think about some of these things, and I know that she will. So now it's to the point where no matter what we're doing, if I say, okay, Sister Ashley, we're going to change what you've said and do it this way, she's like, okay, we'll change it. She'll revamp the whole thing, and that's what you need in someone that's going to be under you. You don't need somebody questioning you and back-talking you and questioning your judgment on things, because 9 times out of 10, it's coming from the head, from the leadership. So she's able to adjust on the fly, I guess I should say, and also just still be able to maintain and be able to keep the ball rolling if I'm not there. So I can leave the land for weeks at a time and know that it's going to be taken care of. A lot of times behind the scenes, people think it's only Sister Ashley dictating, and I think they think that here on the land even, but I'm feeding her certain things. Okay, Sister Ashley, I want this done, this done, this done. She makes sure that it gets implemented. And some stuff I don't even have to say. So we kind of just have this communication where if I see something that I want for us to get done, she's not going to say that came from me. I don't want her to. I want her sisters to be able to honor and respect her the way that they do and to make sure that they come and get things done. Make sure if she says 6:15, because she has the mentality to know how long it's going to take to pick the green beans and get them up to the dining hall, okay, she'll set the time for 6:15. Okay, we're out there at 6:15. So just knowing those that really want to have a community mindset, and that's a big key as well, and want to really make everything work like a well-oiled machine. So up early, to bed late, that's what you need as far as someone being able to learn and being able to lead in your stead. So she's just been a great benefit and a great help.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, talk to us, please, about what, you know, Elder Mitchell talked about the dynamic of working together. So I want you to talk to us about delegating to other women. What makes it easy and what makes it difficult when you're dealing with women?
I have a heart to build up, so every woman needs to be built up. And every woman has something to offer, even from the smallest to something that may be a larger skill. And so, you know, I give all praises to the Most High Yah that I'm actually able to discern that almost instantly. And every woman I meet, I know how she can benefit. But I'm also keenly aware of her being ready or not. And so sometimes it's a waiting process before you're actually able to allow someone to benefit the whole. But yes, learning Pastor's Mind, learning Mother's Mind was so super important. And, you know, getting my lashes along the way, making mistakes, you know, up against opposition or, you know, making errors, being rebuked, being shamed, whatever it had to cost me, I was at all times willing to get someone else's will done, and I was willing to lay my own down. I didn't move here with the desires to make this land my own. I really, truly wanted to follow with all my heart, and I never assumed that we would even be talking about it. You know, Yah knows the innermost part of me and my heart. My desire is that all women would truly love, come together, and build one another. And one thing I observe is that our men honor us more than we honor one another. And I try within my own heart to honor every single woman. I would lay my life down for them. Because remember my early quote, when I loved Pastor, I didn't love Mother Carol because I didn't know how. I didn't love my mother in the world, so I automatically had a wall against a woman. And Mother helped me tear that down because of who she is and what she stands for and her character. And so knowing that they first loved me, I can now freely give my love to my sisters. And I truly, my sisters, I support each of you locking arms with one another, regardless of your man or your husband or your title or their title. I really don't see respective persons in my heart. It's not my deal. You know, it don't matter. NFL come in and he got a lot of money, or the guy who's never had a car. You know what I mean? We can't, as women, have respective persons to love one another and to be the same for one another, whether a man is around or not. That's my heart, my Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Very, very good word, Sister Ashley. I want to ask about, you know, learning to love women, because in the world, that's just not something that we are taught at all. In the world, it's easy to dismiss another woman if you don't agree. It's easy to just disconnect and not even deal with one another. In Israel, it's different. We are admonished to build relationships and to love each other. So, Mother, I want to ask you first, and then Sister Ashley, I want to go on to you, but how do you learn to love women beyond their emotions, you know, beyond their rejection of you, or beyond their hatred of themselves, or beyond their fears? How do you learn to move past all of that and truly just love women?
If you separate them from the spirit that certain women operate in, then you can love them. You don't love the rejection or the animosity or anything or the sarcasm or anything like that, but you love the woman because you separate, because you know what Yah's word says, that we are a spirit, and so you separate that part of the person. You don't not love your sisters. I didn't know the magnitude of the demise of women until I kind of moved to the community, not even within my own self. Not that I lived in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, but it was kind of close. I really just didn't know the nature and character of women. In fact, Ashley's the one that taught me the stigma that black women had in the inner cities. I'm like, really? I'd never heard some of those things because of the way that I grew up. But separating the person from the spirit will never allow you to hate your sister, and then you can love all women the same, or, you know, you can love all women if you keep the separation that it's not them, and you can deal with them according to whatever is going on with them as a help instead of taking it personally. So that would be my answer.
Very good. Sister Ashley, same question.
Hey, I was going to have the same exact answer. I do share the same mind with Mother. I do take comments on the chin from behind the scenes with spirits and women who, you know, want to come against the unity that I have with Mother Carol, whether it's displayed openly or me and her never talked again. You can't take away that bond, you know. And for Mother Carol, she taught me how to love. I listened, I paid attention, I took note, I prayed, I worked through, I saw how she loved those who didn't love her, and I just knew what I had to produce. I knew what part of me I was not Christ-like. I knew what part of her I needed to get like her. I remember we were at a chicken butchering years and years and years ago, and there were a few sisters voicing their way. She had said, hey, we're going to do such and so, so and so, right? A few people voiced what we should do, and, you know, the clapback that happens almost every time a woman delegates. So here comes the clapback, and she said, and this changed my life forever, forever. I was never the same, okay? She said, if I were any of you, I would just say yes, ma'am. That's it, you know? And no joke, it changed my life. If I was not delegating, if I didn't do, you know, the calling, the organizing, the feast, if I didn't help her with menu, if I didn't delegate weekly projects, if I didn't have a laundry day, a schoolhouse, a dish, whatever I already told you, if all that was taken away from me and I had to submit and surrender to any of you, I now have that heart and that same spirit that my mother, Carol, has. I would just say yes, ma'am, to you. But so many countless times, we get challenged and pushed back when you have the vision, right, Mother Carol? You have the vision, and you're trying to be the teacher of it or the example of it. It is kicked at. It really is kicked at. And sometimes it's not even on purpose. So I offer a lot of mercy because I remember who I was. I remember my beginnings. I remember the dishonor that I had when I didn't know that I lacked honor. You know what I mean? You can love anybody when you grow past it, and when you mature past it, you can look back and love anybody in the state that you were in. I can't see how you would talk down or be judgmental or critical to someone who is exuberating something that you have done with your own being. Like, that's the, you know, epitome of hypocrisy. So I have women in my life that have healed me in my inner being. Healed me emotionally. I have a core group of friends, Mother Carol, of course, Diane, of course. I have a core group of friends, five others, that through their love, submission, surrender, listening, balance of correction for me has healed me in a way that a man can never do. And I learned that from both of you mothers talking about a multiple situation of marriage, you know, a polygyny dynamic in marriage, that women have the power to heal one another. And I want to be the one that helps somebody heal. I don't want to tear another woman down. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Very, very good answers. Very good answers. Let's talk about giving all. You know, we hear a lot about giving all, and we are a ministry who believes in giving all. Sister Ashley, I want you to answer this one first, and then we'll go to Mother. Talk about the dynamic of what it meant for you to give all when you first came into the ministry, and what does it mean to you now, Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. When it, I didn't have much when I came this way. I got some severance pay, maybe a couple $9,000 checks or whatever it was, and I was so excited to give all. That was my money. That was it. I'd blown everything. I'd lived, you know, a life of vanity and expression, you know, natural expression of possessions that I carried myself as if I had more, you know, and made more than I really did. Had a lot of vanity. Had a lot of vanity, and so, all right, given all, I didn't have much, so yes, given the money, that was easy. Giving up the family, that was easy. Once again, just knocking hurdles down. We overcomplicate things. We overcomplicate things. In your youth, you know, as a young woman, you overcomplicate every circumstance. It makes something bigger than it really is. And so I talk to myself in my emotions and in my weakened state, because I am a weaker vessel, and I talk myself out of those things. So, okay, yes, give up the money. Yes, give up the family. Yes, sell all and come this way. And, hey, I glory to the Most High. Yeah, the people that were before me gave all, forsook all, and came with much less. I actually had an afforded right, probably because of my pride. I was given more of an opportunity than anyone else. I got Pastor Dow and the brothers coming and picking up every damn thing I own and strapping it down in trailers and trucks, bringing it here. And Grandma Vicky can tell you all about that story. I got a walk-in closet that she spent all day in packing it and bagging it. And she's like, I spent an entire day in a closet on a move. You know, and so I had to shed it as I was here. And the way that I shed it, y'all ain't heard this story, I put it in a shed area, an old trailer on the other side of a trailer where nobody lived. It was a rundown area where we just stored at the time maybe like wood stoves, things that, you know, you would store on a property in a barn. And I put my couch in there, and I put my leather bags in there, my leather shoes in there. I put my purses. I put everything, right? And every time I go check on it, there was spiders and spider webs, and there was mice droppings, and this leather was chewed, and this shoe was molded, and there was this and that. And that is what I was going through in the shedding process. That's the way I shed it. I shed it by having to throw it away because moth and rust corrupted it, and it didn't fit in the room that I lived in, which I was content with everything I owned in there anyway. And so I just began to shed everything that was overflow in storage, and that was my story. But how about this? Let's go here, Mother Carol. When you give all and you give money and you give family and you got nothing left, all you can give is of yourself. And what does self want? Self wants time with family. Self wants time with your husband, or self wants time with your children. I forsake that. I forsake time with my children. I forsake time in life, no relaxation, in prayer, etc. You begin to let go of things. Everyone that lives here is charged to let go of everything inside of you, everything in your being. And a lot of people are afforded the opportunity to hold on to whatever part of you that you still want to exuberate. And so for me, the Most High was very intricate in his surgery of my heart to command me to let go of every single thing, even my own children that you still see run around me in the flesh. You would never know that in my heart, I've given them up to the Father. I've given them up to the tribal dynamic of raising them and discipline, because it's my husband's requirement. Everything you hear me speak is my husband's requirement of me. He is the deacon. He represents pastor and total submission and surrender to the community needs. And there is 100% of the time, never anything that my husband wants beyond this community, ever. And because of his mind and how he is, I was easily able to assimilate. And he gives me the trust of his heart that I would make a righteous decision based on this community at all times, even when he's not here, because he's laid down his life at a job for 24 years and given all. Hallelujah. But Mother Carol, can you speak about letting go of more than money and more than family and letting go of everything you love?
Yes, ma'am. I would probably say from the beginning, I think, I believe there's a natural giving all, physically, material things, and a spiritually giving all. And I think some don't really get the full aspect of it until actually they're on a community for quite some time. I remember, Pastor, I believe the beginning of my giving started because, you know, from all other aspects, my trust in giving was his giving. So if whatever he said to do, that's what we're going to do. But my heart needed to be able to give up as well. So I remember the time when he called and said that he was going to get off the job. Now, at this time, we were not on a community. We have two children. We have bills to pay and all of these things. And for some reason, I know it had to be the Holy Spirit, just did not allow me to kick in that because I know that I could have swayed. He's not a swayable man, but if even in the most minute way my fear would transfer to him, then I wouldn't have been giving all. So I said, okay, honey, come on home. And then as we moved to a community, you give all the material things and all the physical things come together and you scrap and fight. Now, this is us from the very beginning, not communities now as they come together, but because I think you're able to keep a lot more things. But with us, everything you had went into the pot. I mean, even your dishes, your fine china that you may not ever see again or somebody might drop on the floor and not know that it's a $50 plate. So you have to get past that mental aspect of things. And then on the flip side, as we grew more in grace and knowledge, Yah really pressed upon me, you still are your own, so you have to give up you, everything you think. Moving to a community, you should have a community mind. Our motto is the community comes first. And if the community doesn't come first in your family, then you have not given all. If you put other things above, if you put your household and things concerning you and your husband and all of these things above what the mandate that the man of Yah has said, you're not giving all. So it's a whole different dynamic comparing the natural to the spiritual because so many give up the natural and don't really realize that they've really not given all. Spiritually, when you come, it's not about money. If you don't have a dime, you give of yourself, but you give up everything that could be damaging to your husband, everything that could be damaging to a community. That's your mindset, your will, your attitude, your emotions, all of these things. You have to grow spiritually to rid yourself of these things so that you can truly say that you've given all. Mother?
Very good. Very, very good direction here. You know, for those who live on community and even for those who don't live on community and you're desiring to get there, this is very good information to have and to take heed. I want to talk about, you know, living communally. When you live together, it's not just you that you're considering when you do things, the things that you think about, the things that you put your hands to, you know, even the things that you decide to bring in the house, the things that you bring on the land. You can't just consider yourself. It cannot be a selfish thing. You have to consider the whole. So let's talk about really living for the whole when you live communally. Specifically, you might bring things on the land that are cursed objects. You know, things that you may not be aware of, and the whole community is going to suffer as a result of that. Sister Ashley, I want you to just please explain to us and talk about the importance of not being selfish when it comes to, you know, the possessions that you decide to keep when you're living communally, when you're living with other saints, and how everyone is going to pretty much feel the things that you're dealing with and the things that you bring to the pot. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Very good dialogue in my mind. I want to stay to the question. I was thinking too much, Jennifer. I took it personal when something possessed me, and I still do. That thing inside you that wants all of you, you know, that child you have that wants all of you, that car, that money, that bank account, that job, that thing that wants all of you, that really possesses you. I take that very, very personal, and so that's why I attack everything inside me and shed it. I also watched Pastor all these years of, you know, in the early years when money was not easy. Money was, we truly live by faith. To this day, we live by faith. And money at the time was manifest different to teach us such a great and humble beginning. So, you know, he passed out shirts. When he went out, it wasn't buying a shirt for him. You know, it was a buying a shirt for everybody, buying a shirt for all the brothers, or buying a shirt for me as a daughter, buying shoes for me as a daughter, buying toys for the children at all, you know, just random times, buying bikes. You know, one of my sons has a bike now that he bought him. You know, constantly he would think of someone else. And Deacon Bill manifest that same thing. When I got married, if we got something, bought something, had anything, it was get one for us and get one to give away. Get one book, get another book. I'll give it to a brother. We do that weekly. Okay, y'all knows our heart. This is the truth. This is the true story of the Bells. And y'all knows your family and your husband. He knows how much you give. I watch mother go out shopping, buy for her house and buy for 10 other homes, or buy this for this sister, that for that sister, that, you know, I'm like, I wanted to do that. So I took it upon myself to manifest that same character of my husband and of Pastor's family. And when you do that, it challenges you to live by faith, because money isn't always a guarantee to come back, you know. You only got so-and-so, you're working, like Elder Mitch said, you're working a W-2 wage. That's all. That's it, right? You get W-2s every year. That's your payment. So from week to week, how much of that are you giving freely, expecting Yah to be your all-in-all, to be your provider? If I give this up, if I share this, if I shed this possession for you, Father, and I really am requiring you to live by your word to me in my life. I'm expecting you to provide for me at all times. If I give my last dollar away, I run scenarios through my mind, mothers, of what the end time will be like when there are people who are going to be selfish, who are not ready, who are not prepared, who are hoarders, who are thieves, who are taken from the storage room. You know, I can't trust the me inside of me. And so I'm constantly trying to know that inner person and get it right and shed and give and shed and give. Go last eating, you know. Teach my children all sorts of lessons. They still manifest all sorts of selfishness. They are children. They're just as foolish as any other, right? But I'm still trying to pour into them. Why do we wait? Why do we go last? Why do we give? You have two you don't need. Why are you complaining? No, you don't need something every time. You know, all these lessons, pouring it in. And that's all you can do. All you can do is give all of you. And you can't teach your children to not be selfish if you are. And you can't teach your children to be grateful if you're not. You know, so when you really dive into who you are as a person, you can start to produce the opposite and teach the opposite and make your children better than you, or at least try, because the rest of the molding, of course, is up to the Father and the Heavenly Father. But I hope I answered that, Mother Jennifer. I took it personal when something possessed me.
Yes, ma'am. Very good. Mother, please add to that the importance of selflessness when it comes to community and the things that you decide to actually bring in and keep for yourself as possessions. Mother.
Well, I believe because Yah loves us so much, if you've brought something, if you're hoarding something, that whether it be something satanic that you don't need to have on the land, a book or anything, Yah will, he'll bring it out. Because we are a tribe, we have to think about our brother or our sister more than we do ourselves. You know, Pastor encourages us as a people to not only, we have a rule on the land, if you go out and go shopping, because now at this day and time, everybody has money in their pocket, which it didn't start out that way. I hear some communities saying that, well, they got $20 a week or $20 a month. Whew, that would have been a fortune. to us from the beginning. We didn't see that. We were trying to build. We were trying to get this thing established. So no one asked for anything, and all the needs were met in such a beautiful way. And Pastor has been such a faithful steward over Yah's heritage and over the funds that Yah does give him. I've never seen a more generous man in my life. But he teaches us to make sure that we, you know, store up. He has done the videos in the past of the Mylar bags and things. So many of the saints, we are all encouraged here to not only buy a canned good when we go out, especially the women. If you're off the land, you go to the store, you buy a number 10 canned good of something that we, you know, clean food that will get us by so that we can keep our storage room full. But he also encourages us to store up in our own individual homes so that that's something in addition. So, but I think about the, how do I say it? I think about the selfishness of our people that we've been shown in the scriptures, and we're shown that because we do, it's designed for us not to repeat it, because we are no different than our forefathers, and their testimony of their life is a learning experience for us. So the cans that we store under the bed and the individual things that we store, because now we are in our own individual homes, that can should be for someone else. I buy enough to, because I can sustain myself on less food, which I have trained myself to do that, because I'm thinking of a child that may need an extra meal. I'm thinking of a brother that might be up guarding us all night and might need something to help sustain him while he's up guarding the land, things like that. So we have to have a tribal mentality, because Yah will make sure that if we bring anything into the land, into his presence, that is not acceptable unto him, he will bring it out. And I don't believe it's just material things. I believe it's your moods, your attitudes, your thoughts, your hypocrisy, your sarcasms. All of these kinds of things also are just as offensive in Yah's eyes as the selfishness we might maintain with our material things. So all aspects of the word, we have to completely release ourselves of this life. Our care should be so much so towards the Father and towards his people that that is what is prevalent in our lives.
Hallelujah. Very good. You know, you're so right. We're not going to be able to just flip a switch during that time. You know, when the time comes, and you're going to have to show a greater disciplined version of yourself, you're not going to be able to just flip a switch and be that disciplined version of yourself. So it's good to actually make sure that you are doing these things now and understanding what's in you now that is not disciplined, and getting those things under control. Sister Ashley, I wanted to talk about a testimony. I'm going to ask Mother first. There's a testimony that you did in 2013, and, you know, it's a very moving testimony, very much so, so much so that I posted it on my Facebook page this week, you know, because when I listen to it, it's the truth. It really is, and you, in 2013, you made a vow that you would change, that you would be a different woman. It never gets old, because I see the changes that you've made to this day. I see the woman that you've become to this day from that testimony. But you talked about reaching a crossroads. You know, you said you get to the faith. You know, when you come to the faith, there's a crossroads that will bring you here. But when you've been in it, when you've been in the faith for years, what does it look like when you're still reaching certain crossroads, you know, and you have decisions to make? You have things that are trying to pull on your heart. You have things that are tugging at your will. What does that look like, that crossroads? Can you talk to us about that, Mother? And then, Sister Ashley, I want you to talk about that as well. So, Mother Carol?
Crossroads is a good word. I often use the train wreck. Because when we come into the knowledge of the truth, there's so many things that we change after the flesh. We start to believe different things, different ways. We believe in keeping Yah's law, and that's wonderful because we've learned the truth, and we believe, okay, I'm not going to celebrate Christmas, I'm not going to celebrate Easter, all those pagan holidays, and I'm going to keep the feast, and I'm going to obey Yah's law and all of these things. But and so many people make that change, but so many don't ever get their train wreck with their self to see that I am a filthy, disgusting thing that Yah does not accept. So that crossroad, that train wreck, is really seeing who you are, seeing you the way Yah sees you. And if it wasn't for his blood, he couldn't even look upon us. So when you see that part of yourself that's filthy and that's disgusting and you can't take it anymore, that's your train wreck, your crossroad, and you have to make a change one way or another.
Very good. Sister Ashley?
Right. If you are rejected by anyone alive, you can harden yourself to that rejection. But if you are shown the thing about you that is not accepted by our Creator, that rejection is that manifested crossroad. Because if you choose to harden yourself and remain the same, then that truth is presented to you. The truth is presented to change, or the truth is presented to shed possessions or to deny yourself or to give all. Whatever is presented before you, if you choose to reject him, you will get a strong delusion of self or of life or salvation. You go another way. You go astray. So it is his goodness that leads us to repent. A crossroad is presented that, for me, was me saying, you, as a creator, reject this mind and mentality in me and abhor it, and you will not be moved by my opinion or my self-justification or how I think things should be. My truth does not weigh in the balance in comparison to the truth that was presented about me and to me in life. So that's what my crossroad was like. I was at a place where I have to meet this requirement or I won't grow or go anywhere. I'll just go backwards. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. I think it's really good that you said he's not going to be moved by our opinion, by our minds, or by how we think. And, you know, we fail to remember that. We fail to remember that, you know, our ways compare nothing to his, but our ways need to line up to his. So he's not going to be moved by our emotions or our opinions or how we think things need to be going at all. Sister Ashley, can we go to a break? And sisters, if you have questions, you can type them in the chat room on blogtalkradio.com/straightway. You can type them in the chat room if you have questions, and when we come back, we'll read them. If we don't have any more questions, I'm finished on this end, but I do want to play that testimony to kind of wrap up this interview. And when we come back, I'll allow you all to have final words, Mother Carol and Sister Ashley. Let's go to a break.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you are faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, Number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. Again, our mailing address is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word straightway and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. Straightway is spelled straightway.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah. Well, this has been a pleasant surprise tonight to not only be able to interview Sister Ashley, but to have the honor and the pleasure of having Mother Carol on here as well to interview. And I just want to say that Mother Carol and Sister Ashley, from the time that I first came into the ministry, you all have both been such great friends to not only to me, but to Elder Rufus's entire family. And I truly value and appreciate the examples that you all have been. So blessings to both of you. I want to ask one more question. We'll have Mother go first. Is there anything that you would like to say to admonish the Daughters of Zion in any area? You know, what would that be?
I would say be sure that you develop structure and discipline in your life in every area, in areas of obedience to your husband, be disciplined in that, in areas of your eating, in areas of your work with your sisters, in areas of your attitudes and your moods and how you react and how you respond to people. There are young daughters, the children, the young women, they're looking at every single one of us, and they watch how you react and how you respond and how you receive instruction and how you do these things. And you never want to be a stumbling block to any of those young daughters. So what they see, they're looking at things that you wouldn't even dream of them observing and things like that. So your nature has to change, not just it's not an act, it's not something you can just put on, but your whole entire nature and being must line up with what the scripture says. And thank you so much, Sister Jennifer, for having me. I did not expect to be on here this long. I was told just one question, but the Father does all things well, and it's always a blessing and a pleasure to be here. Can I say something real quick to Pastor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
I hope that he is well. You are well rested. We miss you dearly, and just know that I am the woman that I am because of everything you have taught me and everything that you have shown me by your love for the Father and by your walk. And I love you dearly, my master and my husband and my friend. Bless you.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. Please, to the Daughters of Zion, anything at all that you would like to say to admonish in any area for the young daughters?
There's a human nature inside of everyone I've ever met, right? And me being a human, you already know I'm putting myself out there. It's a very detrimental character flaw, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And it says everyone needs to be like me. You might not hear the voice that says, she needs to be like me, she needs to be like me, he needs to be like me, he needs to be like me, but you act out of character, out of Christ's nature when someone doesn't react like you, talk like you, live like you, respond like you,
were challenged the most, you know, living communally, because everyone's not the same. Yes, it's one mind, but you have to shed, I shed, all expectation inside of me of wanting others to be like me or like Deacon. Hoping that we would all have that same mind, you know, community first and this. Well, what about when it's not produced your way? You know, that's when we see who you really are, when you can shed that idea, that false idea that everyone should be as you and like you, and you can just live for yourself, produce for yourself, and follow in your husband's footsteps. You know, if that makes sense, it will help you to unify yourself with the body. Just follow, submit, surrender, yield, and obey, and let go of all ideas that are causing contrariness and causing division. And don't justify yourself. If you can teach yourself how you are justifying yourself, that's where to start. And I had a question from the audience that said, can you find your crossroad? And my initial answer would be no, because if you haven't faced it, you're not ready to face it. And if you did face it, it would cost you your soul. So for my initial, you're going to face everything in front of you in a timely manner. You are chosen. You are beloved. You are set apart. You are to be holy. And you are being watched and recorded. And everything you do is, everything that's in front of you, everything before you is already charted out for you. So you're going to get to it, and you just got to live to reach it. My answer. But Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much. Thank you both for taking the time out to edify the Daughters of Zion and to answer the questions. I don't see any questions in the chat room, so we're going to go ahead and we are going to play the testimony from Sister Ashley, and we will end the show on that, Sister Ashley, unless you have something else.
I do want to share an excerpt out of a book that I brought, and I will wait till after you play the clip. So you ready?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
Bless you. Thank you all so much. I hope you don't all believe the show was for me and about me, Sakina. Hallelujah. This was for you, right? Me and Jennifer have a little saying, you know, behind the scenes. If you never call my name again, you never see my face again, you never hear my voice again, I'm so content. I can live under the rug, for real. And Jennifer says, LOL, me too, you know. But this is what we do. It's for you. It's about you. Take my name out of it. Live it. Produce it. Here we go.
I start my journey years ago. I remember Pastor said a word. He said, you will all come to a crossroad in your walk. And I hung on to that because it didn't make any sense to me, considering I had already stepped into the faith, and I didn't realize there was another crossroads to make. And so here we are, fast-forwarded years later, and I can feel and sense, and anyone with discernment can, that many souls are in a crossroad, as well as my own. Living here, for the sisters out there, doesn't spare you. And as the Most High, I was with a child, and he began to convict my soul to change who I was as a woman. He wasn't teaching me how to be a mother, and that threw me off. And I started to hear the word differently, and I started to see myself. And for those of you who have any form of discernment, you can see a Jezebel. If you're a woman, you know you can see a Jezebel. And I prided myself on the volume of my voice, my ability to flatter, my confidence in basketball. We all have our testimonies, women. We all have why we are who we are. We all have a reason why we don't follow a man, why we are more than a man. And I couldn't see why submitting myself to my husband was submitting myself to Christ. It made no sense to me because I was already submitted to Christ. And I couldn't see that serving him any different would be for my own soul salvation. And so when my soul got to this crossroads, just within the past few months of my life, and I started to really kick and rebel within my inward man, such as many women are doing right now, I feel it, we see it. And I could hear the word, I could hear him preaching towards Jezebel, and it was pricking me, and I was kicking. And I'm sober enough to know when I kick. And it didn't make any sense to me, and I was not willing to change everything that I had become as a 31-year-old to submit myself unto the ways of the Most High, that no matter where this journey takes me, no matter where this Torah takes me, I had to commit myself to the ways of the Father. And so he led me to fast, and he told me when to fast, and it was a lot. And he told me the specific days, and so I was confused because I like to eat. And so I said, well, please let it come from my husband. So the very next day, my husband said the exact same words to me that the Father had put in my spirit and the exact same days. So I started my fasting journey, and when I knew, setting forth the fast, that it was to break my will. And I once again testify to you, sisters, that your will is not stronger than mine. You're not beyond reach. You just have to submit yourself. And so I knew I needed to. So here we go. And just yesterday, I saw myself and I saw who I really was. After obeying the fasting, I had pretty much given up. I'd given up praying. To my shame, I'd given up praying. I said, forget it. I was kicking that hard. And I wasn't willing to change who I was. And so, such as the fast was needed. And I was, you know, I haven't been given any words of encouragement by the Most High through all this because I was rebelling. He's not going to edify or comfort rebelling. And yesterday, just washing dishes, I heard it loud and clear in my spirit, my ways are not your ways. And it broke me. And I see me shamefully as he sees me. And I thank him for his mercy because my husband's not deserving. Now there are your husbands deserving out there. And my life, my walk with the King just got real narrow, just like that. And so I testify that I've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And you won't see me the way you've always seen me, saints. Everything about me has changed just like that. And I praise him for it. And I hope that for all of you who are at the crossroads, if you could just give it all to him, it's the most pain you'll ever experience. But I've never felt the peace I feel after you accept the pain. So praise his name. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Did you want to say anything before I read something?
No, I want you to blow the shofar.
Beautiful.
Oh, I'm
and I'm a witness of you have never been the same. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blow the shofar. Testimony could be all of yours. Mother Carol, thank you for calling in. We're going to let you go while I read something. You can now enjoy the show. Thank you so much for calling, Mother. You know I love you. I'll die for you.
Bless you both. Love you very dearly. And thank you all for all that you do, both of you, Mother and Ashley. We appreciate you so much, all that you all do for the show. And this is a sacrifice. It's a labor of love every single week, and it does not go unnoticed. So bless you both, and thank you very much. Shalom.
Shalom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey,
shalom.
Everyone who loves us, everyone who names the name of Yah, and may Yah get all the glory out of my life. Hallelujah. May I take none from him. Mother Jennifer, you ready to hear something?
I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
All right. My sisters, I remember the days when I didn't fear Yah, and you're going to automatically think that I am meaning the days prior to the faith. That's not the case. even after conversion, there were many days that I didn't fear Yah. There were many conversations I didn't fear Yah, many relationships that I denied or mistreated, not even willingly, not even with ill intention at all in my heart, just finding my Yah in all of it. And as I've grown in the fear of Yah, I do get questions about it. I do get questions of how do you get, you know, more fear? And I think by first acknowledging that you don't have any, by acknowledging where it is missing or lacking, as in I don't have any fear of Yah over my speech, or I don't have any fear of Yah over my relationship with my husband, or I don't have fear of Yah in my dress or my appearance. I don't have the fear of Yah in this, 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 and this, okay? And I'm going to read out of a small book, Sister Alex. I love you. The Testament of Abraham. Okay? Real small pamphlet. There's not even any page numbers or I would share. It's chapter 10. And this is all I knew I was going to talk about tonight. I had no idea, you know, which way we were going to go or whatever. But it fits. Of course it fits. Yah loves us, you know. He loves us. So, now I, in my older age, and 39, and more mature in Christ, I'm more discerning and more understanding in a lot of ways than I ever was, and it got a long way to go. I have the fear of Yah consume me at times over the judgment that we will all face when our soul leaves our body. And it benefits me to put my trust in this little pamphlet called The Testament of Abraham because it brings about a more righteous fear in me, and I wanted to share. So in chapter 10, there was a chief messenger named Michael, and he went down into the earth, and he took Abraham upon a chariot, and he exalted him high into the air of heaven. Now, mind you, maybe this is not true. Maybe you can find that this was written by, who knows, right? It's got the name of a rabbi here. I don't want to get caught up into all that because I can read this in maturity and I can gain fear of the Most High Yah from it. And that's what the focus is, okay? So let's just go with it. Let's just go with it for that intention, all right? I can't prove because it is not in the KJV, right? Michael goes down, he takes Abraham upon a chariot, and he exalts him high into the air of heavens. He leads him upon a cloud with 60 heavenly messengers. Can you imagine? And Abraham ascends on that chariot over all the earth. And while Abraham is viewing, imagine riding over the clouds, over the earth, he sees that the world is in the daytime, some are plowing. Some are driving herds. Some are in flocks. This and that's going on. He's seeing all the labor and the toil all over the earth. Imagine the angelic view of us. Well, Abraham says to Michael, I beg you that if I shall depart from my body, and remember, I'm starting in chapter 10, so there's some background that you won't know. Just try to follow me. But he says, I beg of you, Master, to Michael, that if I shall depart from my body, I have desire to be taken up to see the creatures that Yahweh, Almighty Elohim, has created in heaven and on earth. And Michael said, this is not for me to do, but I will go and I will talk to Yahweh about this. And if I am commanded, I shall show you these things. So Michael goes up into heaven and he speaks to Yahweh concerning Abraham. And Yahweh answers Michael and says, go take Abraham in his body and show him all these things. Whatsoever he shall say to you, do it to him as unto my friend. So Michael goes forth and took up Abraham into a cloud, brings him over a river. I'm going somewhere, y'all. Watching them by night. Now he's watching the earth by night, okay? Dancing, playing, harping. In another place, men were striving and contending with each other at law. Elsewhere, men were weeping. Some were having the dead in remembrance. For, you know, some pass away, some are in mourning. He's observing the earth. He also saw newly wedded couples receive with honor. Okay? He saw both good and bad. I'm going to skip. And it says, he saw in another place men carrying away others' men's possessions. And he said, Master, Master, command that fire. Imagine, okay, this is Abraham. He sees an act that is not right. You know, what do we do when we see something that's not right? He got the same mentality. This is my key focus. He says, Master, Master, command that fire may come down from heaven and consume them. And even as he spoke, fire came down from heaven and consumed. And straightway there came a voice from heaven to the chief captain Michael and said, O chief captain Michael, command the chariot to stop and turn Abraham away, that he may not see all the earth. For if he beholds all that lives in wickedness, he will destroy all creation. And Abraham has not ever sinned, so he has no pity on sinners. But I have made the world, and I desire not to destroy any of them. Take Abraham up to the first gate of heaven that he may see. There are judgments and there are recompense. And repent for the souls of the sinners that he has destroyed. So now he's going to take him to a place where he can repent for the soul he just destroyed by the power of his word. Okay? Now I'm going to jump to another chapter. I'm going to show you what happens inside Abraham's heart. But I also wanted to put in your minds that there is a judgment that we will all face. Imagine, close your eyes, Sammy, and your soul leaves your body right now, and you'll never be able to return to life or earth again. And everything you've ever said and done is now laid in balance, okay? That's for all of us at any given moment. I'm going to go to chapter 12. Abraham stood and he marveled at the things that he was beholding that Michael shared with him. And you know, Pastor talks about the courts of Yah. He has a very interesting way of sharing with us how, you know, the Hasatan and Jesus work. And he lines it all up with scripture. I really, really have enjoyed the introduction of the courts of Yah some years ago and how he's grown in that understanding and implied it to us. And so jumping back to this, Abraham is standing and he's marveling at what he's seeing in glory. And it says, behold, a heavenly messenger of Yahweh was driving 60,000 souls of sinners to destruction. And Abraham said to Michael, do all these go into destruction? And Michael said to him, yea, yes, but let us go and search among these souls. If there is among them even one that is right ruling, come on, y'all, if all our souls were dumped into this crowd and the angel is searching us out. And when they went, they found a heavenly messenger holding in his hand one soul of a woman from among these 60,000, because he had found her sins weighing equally with all her works. Can you imagine everything that you so-called think is righteous that you've ever said or done is weighed equally with your sin? That's a place to be, y'all, because it's too late. It says, another word there, motion or rest in that state. You're not moving, you're not in haste, and you can't rest. But you're right in the state between, and it says that the other souls he led away into destruction. So out of 60,000, he got one. Abraham said to Michael, Master, is this the heavenly messenger that removes the souls from the body, or no? And Michael said, this is death. And he leads all into the place of judgment, that the judge may try them. And Abraham said, my master, I beg you to lead me to the place of judgment so he can see all-consuming fire with which to try the sinners. This is interesting, huh, Tammy? This is amazing. It says, the wondrous man who sat upon the throne himself judged and sentenced the souls. And the two heavenly messengers were on the right and they wrote down. And on the left, they wrote down. So you got two on your left, you got two on your right. You put yourself right there in the middle. And the one on the right, he writes down your right rulings. And the one on the left, he writes down your wickedness. And the one before the table. All right, now, this is going to get a little bit descriptive into what it looks like. Don't get caught up, you know, into that whole dynamic. So however you need to listen, this is really, this will bring about fear in your life. The fear of Yah, righteous fear. It says, the one before the table held a balance, and he weighed all souls. And the fiery heavenly messenger held fire. He tried the souls. And Abraham asked the chief captain Michael, what is this that we behold? And the chief captain said, these things that you see, set apart Abraham, are the judgments and the recompense. Can you imagine being called set apart Abraham by all of heaven, by the angels? Set apart Tammy? Set apart Mother Jennifer? We want that title. I'm telling y'all, don't justify yourself. It says, behold, the heavenly messenger holding the soul in his hand. Remember this woman's soul. Don't forget it because we're going there. The heavenly messenger is holding the soul in his hand. And he brought it before the judge. And the judge said to one of the heavenly messengers, open me this book and find the sins on this soul. And he opened the book, and he found its sins, and they found that its right rulings were equally balanced. And he neither gave it to the tormentors nor to those that were saved, but he set it in the midst. This is hard for me to read without choking up, without worshiping, y'all. I'm holding myself back. Abraham said, my master, chief captain, who is this most wonderful judge? Who are the heavenly messengers that write down? Who is the heavenly messenger that's like the sun? S-U-N. Who is the heavenly messenger holding the balance? Who is the fiery heavenly messenger holding the fire? And the chief captain said, see, you most set apart Abraham, the terrible man sitting upon the throne. This is the son of the first created Adam, who is called Abel, whom the wicked Cain killed. Abel sits to judge all creation. Okay, I'm not speaking this as doctrine. I'm speaking this to give us righteous fear. I'm sharing the story. So if it's true, it says, Cain killed Abel, and Abel is now sitting before Abraham to judge all creation and examine right-ruling men and sinners. Elohim has said that he shall not judge you, but every man born a man shall be judged. Therefore, he has given him to judgment to judge the world. Okay, so, right ruling Abraham, in the perfect judgment and recompense, eternal and unchangeable, which no one can alter, every man has come from the first created, and therefore they are first judged here by his son. And at the second coming, they shall be judged by the 12 tribes of Israel, that I too may see how they are judged. So even Michael doesn't even know the destination. Michael took Abraham upon a cloud, led him into paradise. And when he came to the place where the judge was, this mighty judge, right, the heavenly messenger came and gave that soul to the judge. This is a key point. And the soul said, Master, have mercy on me. And the judge said, how shall I have mercy on you when you had no mercy on the daughter of your womb, the fruit of your womb? Why did you slay her? And the soul answered, no, master. Slaughter has not been done by me. My daughter has lied on me. And the judge commanded him to come that wrote down all records. And here comes the cherubim carrying two books. And there was with them a man of exceedingly great stature, having on his head three crowns.
Can you imagine this playing out, watching this thing? Because whatever your judgment is, it's set at this point. It's done. And the one crown was higher than the other two. And these, guess what, on this man's head was called the crown of witnesses. And the man had in his hand a golden pen, and the judge said to him, exhibit the sins of this soul. Bring it forth. And exhibit the sins for that man. Opening one of the books of the cherubim, he sought out the sin of the woman's soul, and he found it. And the judge said, O wretched soul, why do you say that you have not done murder? Did you not, after the death of your husband, go and commit fornication with your daughter's husband and kill her? And he convicted her of all her other sins, whatsoever she had ever done from her youth. Hearing these things, the woman cried out, saying, Woe is me, all the sins that I did in the world I forgot, but here they're not forgotten. And they took her away and gave her over to the tormentors. I wanted to read that tonight because 2013 I shared my testimony. I never knew it would make it to whatever it's got, 1,000 views. I never knew it would make it to a show. Never knew I'd speak of it again, really. It was a commitment that I bound myself by to live differently because whether anyone understands a spiritual world or not, my husband and the Most High required me to fast 4 days a week, every week until released. And I went hard and long and hard and long. I had no fasting history. 4 days was a lot for me. That's why you hear me on the testimony say I love to eat. 4 days every week, and I'm standing at a sink, and I promise you I'll take this testimony to the grave. And I wouldn't care who didn't believe it. I wouldn't care how many thousands of people might be online mocking Jesus, mocking the supernatural, mocking angels or their existence or their involvement into our life. But I stood at that kitchen sink, hit by a movie in the subconscious of my mind of everything that I had said and done that heaven could still see. It flashed so quickly before my conscience that I couldn't stop to think or repent. It was playing on fast forward. I was frozen at the sink, having a vision given to me by a source that I can't produce, that is judging me in the condition that I'm in. December 7, 2013. Let us not ever justify ourselves or believe that we are where we need to be or that good is good enough, right? We can always produce more, love more, give more, and be less and be last, and don't wait on somebody else to do it because other people's selfishness will motivate you to be selfish. I pray this show helped you in any and some way, and I pray that we can never forget our first love. I pray that when we live in the moment, we hear good shows or we hear something that's inspiring, that we don't just go to bed and wake up so frivolous and full of folly and we forget, you know. I've always repented to the Most High Yah for his forgetful people. I bless y'all in the sweet and beloved name of Jesus Christ. He is the only reason I live, move, and have my being. He's the only reason that I know any of you. I support the vision of this ministry. I support my shepherd, and I would die for him. Y'all knows the hearts, and one day, every one of us are going to be weighed in the balance. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. Shalom, shalom.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan Straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Ani ivriya miYisrael, ohevet et shevet Straightway ve'achyotai.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de Straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebreo gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugma na ako ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon na ako nga babae.
Israel. Mo si Ebul. Mo fet Haiti. Mo reme Straightway tribe mo esemyo.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストライウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.